I was reading about Antonio Torrens. He's the pastor of the Cross of Life Church. He once told a story when he was in his first year at New Brunswick Theological Seminary. He said he was in a course called Introduction to Preaching. And Dr. Cleo Leroux asked them as a class what seemed to be a very simple question. The question was, how many gospels are there? And the whole class blurted out 4. And yet to their surprise, Dr. Leroux shook his head and said, no, there are 5. Now, Antonio Torrens said that being a scholar and a Bible school graduate, no one could tell him that there were 5 gospels. Whether you're reading the King James Version, the Revised Standard Version, the New International Version, the New Living Version, or any other version, there are only 4 gospels. But Dr. Leroux went on to explain that there are 4 gospels in the Bible, but that the 5th gospel was in you. He said that the world needs to know, or they know the gospels according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But people need to know the gospel according to you. People need to know your gospel. Now, what is your gospel? What is your good news? Well, friends, remember, the gospel is not something we only go to church to hear. It is something we go from church to tell. Amen. Amen. The gospel is not something we need to defend. It is something that we need to proclaim. The gospel is not a debate. It's a declaration. And all Christians should have a gospel. Everyone who professes Christ as their Lord and Savior should have a testimony about how Christ affected and changed their lives. All who claim inherited rights to the Father should have a story to tell about their experience with His Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, you can't walk the walk without being able to talk the talk. You can't follow in His footsteps without being able to tell of His goodness. You should have your own gospel, your own story. It is a matter of, okay, we know that your mom is active in the church and your dad is a leader. But what is your story? We know that your brother is a pastor and your cousin's a missionary. But what is your story? Who do you say Jesus is? Once Jesus asked his disciples in Luke 9:18, who do the crowd say that I am? And so they answered and they said, you know, some people say, call you John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others say that you're one of the risen prophets. And then in verse 20 he said to them, but who do you say I am, that I am? Isn't that important, friends? Some call you Elijah, some say you may be Jeremiah and other the prophets. Mark called him the suffering servant. Matthew called him the King of the Jews. Luke called him or portrayed him as the great physician. And John called him the Lamb of God. The Jews said he's a great teacher. The Muslims said he's a great prophet. The Jehovah Witness said he's the Son of God, but he hasn't risen. The New Age movement says that he's just a model example of good behavior. Okay, but who do you say he is? Do you see that? The world wants to know your story. The world wants to know your gospel. And this is the message of our text today. We hear Paul telling Timothy to tell the world about his gospel. Paul is an old, experienced preacher, and he's trying to tell Timothy, a wet behind the ears pastor, how to address issues of ministry. And Paul tells him to preach the gospel. And that's what we need to do in our church, friends. Preach the gospel. Paul is telling us to avoid godless chatter and disputes about words. Just preach the gospel. Don't get concerned about godless traditions and rituals. Just preach the gospel. Don't get distracted by godless concerns about church growth and membership. Just preach the gospel. Don't get caught up in godless constitutions and bylaws. Just preach the gospel.
Amen.
It's amazing how in the Christian world, people are so... I don't know if I can... They're so worried about little things. Anyway. Friends, don't be bent out of shape if they refer to you as being elected and not called. Just preach. Don't, friends, be afraid and say, well, I can't preach in the pulpit. Man, stand flat-footed and preach in the street. Oh, you may be bound and chained, but the word of God is full and free.
Yes.
You may be limited, but the word of God is infinite. Paul says, preach the gospel. We must tell the world the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to remind them how he came through 42 generations and was born of a virgin. We need to remind them that he lived a sinless life. We need to remind them how he healed the sick, raised the dead, made the blind to see and the lame to walk. We need to remind them how he hung on the cross, was dead and buried, but on the third day rose up with all power in his hands. We need to remind them how he sits at the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf, and he is the soon and coming King.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We need to remind them about our gospel. Paul says to the people in Corinth, and I, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 1 and 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, sometimes we're afraid to share the gospel with other people. They might ask us a question, we don't know the answer. Okay. We might not use the correct theological terminology. We might not be able to talk about justification and sanctification. Paul says, I didn't come with that. I came to declare Jesus Christ and him crucified. And last week, when we finished speaking about the resurrection of Jesus, I ended with a verse. And that is our text for today. The verses, friends, 2 Timothy 2 verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Do you see that, friends? This is my gospel. It's just 14 words long. We ought to memorize them. The first thing Paul tells Pastor Timothy to do, remember Jesus Christ. What about Jesus Christ? Remember that he has descended from David. This is Paul's way of saying that Jesus is the Messiah, that the promised one, the fulfillment of hopes and dreams, not only for Israel, but for the whole world, that Jesus is the Son of God. Listen to Jesus as he says in Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." These words were words of hope and love, friends, that the world had not heard before. They were words of life instead of words of death. And though it's not on the screen, do you know what Mark 12 verse 37 says? "And the people heard him gladly." The people heard him gladly. We also remember what the world did to him. His arrest and his illegal trials. We need to remember the laughter and the mockery and the ridicule and the scourging and the crown of thorns he endured for us. We need to remember how they nailed him to the cross, not for his sins, but for ours. We need to remember his words, "It is finished." The words Jesus used is the Greek word for "paid in full." Your debt and my debt to God had been paid in full by Jesus on the cross. But friends, we need to remember Jesus raised from the dead. Paul said, Jesus raised from the dead. That's good news, man. As Paul writes these words, he's an old and tired soldier of the cross who had been through it all. He had been beaten and stoned and shipwrecked, and he'd been imprisoned. And now he is on death row, and he leaves a legacy of faith to young Pastor Timothy. And then finally, Paul says to Timothy, "This is my gospel. This is my good news. This is the core of my faith." And in the next verse, in the next breath, when he said, "This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal." Did you see that, friends? Paul was chained to the Roman soldier while awaiting execution. Can you imagine? You're chained to this fellow until you get executed. You know, I was reading and it said that while chained to the Roman soldiers, the Roman soldiers couldn't wait to be on duty, so that they could be chained with the Paul. Why? So that Paul could share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and their lives could be changed. Isn't that something? Paul didn't say, "Oh, poor me, man. I could have been sitting by the beach, man. Look at me. I'm chained. I'm waiting to die." He said, "Man, what a lovely opportunity. You can't go anywhere." And he preached to these people. And he shared the gospel, friends. I like what his attitude. He said, "Despite me being chained like a criminal, despite my limitations and imprisonment," listen to the next part of verse 9. "But God's word is not chained."
Amen.
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 "But God's word is not chained."
Amen.
The truth of the gospel could not be bound by man-made chains, friends. And I like the next verse. Verse 10 says, "Therefore," another version says, "for that very reason, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul is saying, if God can use my chains to further his message of grace, I am willing to suffer any pain, any humiliation out of concern for the lost and out of love for Christ. Friends, people need to know that Jesus loves them and Jesus cares. People need to know that Jesus is a deliverer, a healer, a sustainer, a refuge, and a shelter in the time of storm. People need to know that Jesus will keep them and not forsake them. That Jesus is the doctor in the sick room and the lawyer in the courtroom. The world needs to know, friends, the good news of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, it was the gospel that got the early church through the times of persecution and suffering. The early saints had the gospel. They had the message of hope. You know what happened to these Christians? The Jews threw them out of the synagogues. The Romans threw them into prison. Tiberius crucified them on the crosses and Nero fed them to lions. But the church still had hope. Why? Because they had the gospel. They had the gospel. It was the gospel that said in Romans 8 verse 36 and 37, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We're not ordinary conquerors. That's boring. We're more than conquerors.
Amen.
Amen, friends.
Amen.
Everyone here has a story to tell. You must tell your story. One Wednesday night on a Bible study, I taught on how to develop your testimony, how to write out your testimony and be able to share. Christ wants you to share your gospel. Paul, who calls it my gospel, he uses a possessive pronoun, my, to demonstrate his ownership of good news. And he says, this is my gospel. He says, I am suffering for it. I'm currently in prison for it, awaiting execution, but it's mine.
Yes.
He takes ownership of it because he was willing to suffer and die for it, friends. You may have to suffer for sharing the gospel, your gospel. You may be alienated from family and friends. You may be mocked and teased and belittled and ridiculed. But just like Paul, we must take ownership of the gospel, friends. We must call it mine. You can't have a testimony until you've been tested. You can't have triumph until you experience tragedy. You can't have victory until you've first been a victim. And as Augustine, or as the Americans say, Augustine. I just like to fiddle with words like that. As Augustine, who said, everywhere a greater joy is preceded by great suffering. In other words, no cross, no crown. No death, no resurrection. In order to have the gospel of good news, friends, we must be willing to endure the bad news. Our willingness to suffer is linked with our willingness to be like Jesus. And Paul says to Pastor Timothy in Timothy 2 verse 11 to 13, Yeah, he's a trustworthy saint. Just a few verses after our text. Yeah, he's a trustworthy saint. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he is faithful. I got a typing error here. He will. Is that right? I said he, we. It's okay. I'm just a person like you. He will. No? If we disown him, he will also disown us. Got it. He will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Isn't that lovely? To gain our lives in Christ, we must be willing to lose ourselves in Christ. We must be willing to lose our identity in order to gain our spirituality. We must be willing to let self die. In other words, we must become humble. We must die to self. You know the problem in many churches today? Is that many Christians have not died to self yet. Paul is saying in not so many words, if we still get upset because of trivial church issues, you must die to self. If we get mad because our name is not in the bulletin, we must still die to self. If we lose our joy because no one comes and speaks to us, die. If we get bent out of shape because the pastor didn't say happy birthday and shake my hand, die already. Or some people are all mad. If our emotions are troubled because things are not done our way in church, die. Die to self, friends. You know little things. I can write a book about the times when people tore a strip off me for stupid. Do you know that I was taken to task? Let me just give you one example. You see this white thing hanging here? How dare we put it there? This cloth. Do you see what I mean? Die to self if this bugs you. Anyway, that's not the sermon.
Die to self.
Our pride must die. Our ego must die. Our arrogance must die. Our ambition must die. And when self is dead, then our spirits can live.
Amen.
For we can only preach the gospel, friends, in spirit and truth. But in addition to our willingness to perish with Christ, we must be willing to endure. Endure hardship and headaches. Endure pain and pressure. Endure sacrifice and suffering. Endure death and defeat. Endure trials and tribulation. And if you can endure the race, then you will reign with Christ.
Amen.
To tell your gospel, you must be willing to own it, suffer, and endure. Some of you have been through the fire. I know you for a long time now. Some of you have been through the fire and yet you have remained at peace, cool, calm, and collected. Why? Because you have a gospel. You have had an experience with Jesus Christ and this keeps you rock solid.
Yes.
Let me conclude by saying, while teaching in a seminary in Nigeria, a missionary said, I had a student who did not understand my American English for 2 weeks. One day, this student stood up in the chapel and thanked God for giving him the ability to finally decipher my white man's English. James Nyako said, "For 2 weeks, the only thing I understood the lecturer to say was Jesus." Friends, that is a great legacy for all of us to leave. The only thing we must want people to remember about us is Jesus. Everything is ultimately of less consequence, except how we allow the Lord Jesus to shine and speak through us. Let us join in with Paul as we say our text together. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we approach you in the name of Jesus. We pray that you will help us, Lord, while we still have opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That how you so loved the world, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Help us. Help us to share. We admit that sometimes we get nervous and we are afraid. Help us to realize that you are with us and that you will help us and that your words will find a resting place in the hearts of those who listen. Help everyone here. No one is exempt. There's no retirement in the kingdom. We are still workers together with the Lord. And Father, I pray that you will bless everyone, that you will open doors of opportunity, and we will take full advantage, Lord. Help everyone, Lord, as we go from here, to be mindful of what you desire for us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.